In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
I really want to lose 3 pounds.
Yeah, no, don't put me down for cardio.
Diet starts tomorrow.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy.
I want to quit the gym.
Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
With hosts Aileen Cooperman.
Joey doesn't share food!
And Sammy Fishbein.
Whatever, I'm getting cheese fries.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And today we are joined by Katie Storino, entrepreneur, digital influencer, author of the brand new book coming out soon, Body Talk. Welcome, Katie.
Hello, ladies. Hello. It's great to see you. It's so fun to chat. I have no one to talk to.
Same. Just my podcasts.
I'm currently wearing Rosie pits on my armpits. Really? Right now. I switched in the beginning of quarantine. I was like, now is the time I'm going to change to natural deodorant. And I've been wearing it the whole year now. You could say it's almost a year.
SCFU. That's so exciting.
Uh-huh. I was so excited to tell you.
Wow. I'm really, really happy to hear that. Wait, do you use the armpit mask or do you use
I haven't tried that.
Charcoal bar?
I use the deodorant. Yeah.
Okay. You use Rosie pits too?
Yeah.
You're both lying.
No, I'm not.
I can show you.
You're not both using it.
Yes.
Wow.
Why not?
Okay.
It smells really good.
Kate, we got to send them some, we got to get you the armpit mask and space bar, which is our new armpit soap for the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, fine.
Great. Yeah. Never smell again.
Yeah.
We've been following you along like since you started. Like you came on our podcast a long time ago, twice.
No, you were up on it.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I love your products.
Yeah. Also, if I ever did anything that required sweating, I would use the bus dust to stop my boob sweat. But I literally am so stagnant. It's basically hibernation over here. So no, there's no sweat. So yeah.
I am with you. I do like I'll do like a Megan Roop workout just in my living room, and then I watch TV while I'm doing it, and it's like it's very senior citizen workout.
Yeah, I've stopped even senior citizen workouts at this point.
Well, what's been going on? You've been here. You last time you were on a podcast was 2018.
Insane.
And excited to catch up. How's life been? I noticed on social you moved.
I did. Okay, let me be really clear because I am very sensitive about this. I didn't move. We just started doing snowbird lifestyle. So we bought a place in Palm Beach, Florida, and we're going to be spending the winters here from now on, just like your parents.
So you're retired.
So we're retired. But I thought, I was like, you know what? This is the time to try something like this. So we're doing it. And I still like, we still have our apartment in New York. We're Airbnb-ing it out, and we're actually looking. I'm trying to see if there's like a pandemic deal to be had in like buying a place. Cause I've been renting for almost 20 years there. Right.
I think the pandemic deal is the move. Like, why not try?
In New York? Yeah. You could buy, now's the time to buy something. It's not the time to sell.
No, but that's the classic New York move is like you go and you're like, please, like you should be like giving me your apartment. And then New York is like, are you kidding me? We'll be back in a year. Like New York like doesn't want to like, it's never going to let you know that they're down and out for the moment.
Right. Well, okay. So you didn't move. You want everyone to know you're still a New Yorker.
Yes. Yeah. Because I know people move to like Scottsdale and they move to Austin. And I'm like, no, you moved. You're not living between the two places and you don't have like a mailing address there anymore. Like you're gone. So I'm just saying, right? Like you got to let people, did either of you move?
No. Moved within my building to a different apartment.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, I moved.
Where'd you go?
I moved to Brooklyn, but like that's still New York.
Okay, everyone, you guys, you're still in the city. Like you're
Yeah. That's why I say I didn't move out of state.
No, like I'm like, wait, am I reaching you in New Jersey? Because that's another thing. Like, we lost a lot of people to Jersey and Connecticut and Philly.
Right. Yeah. I know people who moved to Florida full time, like Miami area. I know people who
moved
back home to wherever their parents are.
Well, a lot of people went home, and that's fine. Like, if you lost your job, you don't have, like, you got to go live at home. Great. I have no shade for you, but like choosing like a full-time move to Miami is like a real thing.
It is. Yeah. It's very serious.
It's really serious.
So you went half-time.
Yeah, I went half-time. And I'm telling you, if you living here full-time, I think your brain dries up.
Why?
I know what you mean. There's like, because my mom was living in Florida and she moved back to New York. She's now on the verge of her second move. She moved to Long Island. Now she just signed a lease in the city.
Oh, wow.
Is also going to maybe look for a pandemic deal.
Yeah.
We'll see. So she might have three moves. But she was in Florida. She was just like, I cannot. Like,
the vibe.
The whole vibe is just, And no one cares about COVID and
there's no COVID.
She was wiping down the planes before COVID, anyone even heard the word. So she's like, I won't see anyone. Like, she hates the sun.
It's great. Like, the weather is great. I'm having a really good time. We're like, I'm very into the ocean. We're on the beach, but it's just, I don't know. The vibe is like people being like, you should go to this place. It's got a great breakfast. And then you go and you're like, this is the grossest.
Yes. Yeah. And you're like, this is your best?
Yeah. I'm right. You got great pizza here? What? No, you don't.
Oh my God. Yeah. My mom too with the food. she was like, the food is so bad. Like, I can't with the food. But
there's so many New Yorkers here. Why isn't there any good food? I'm not in like the sticks.
Give us an example of something that you were like sent to the best food and then it was scary bad.
Oh, it was an Italian restaurant that it was like, you've got to try the sauce. It's just like Brooklyn. You're going to love it. Like, we're from Long Island. We get it. I'm like, all right, I'll take your recommendation. No, it was like Pizza Hut sauce on pasta. It was just bad. And I was like, this is what you think is good. And I know I'm coming off very judgy right now, but I'm just, you know, I've been alone for a long time. And I'm surrounded by people who don't take the pandemic seriously. And it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I think that's probably the craziest thing is the feeling that you know that you feel like there's something happening, but everyone around you is acting like there's nothing going on.
Yes.
And it's just weird. Like, it's a weird environment to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm talking baseline minimum mask wearing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you got to wear a mask. That's it. That's all I'm saying. You got to wear a mask. I'm not eating out in restaurants. I'm not doing anything like that. Those are also rules for me. But like, I'm just saying at a minimum, you got to wear a mask. And it's really hard down here. It's crazy.
People go there so that they can pretend there's no COVID.
Yeah, it's COVID free. The Super Bowl, I saw like footage of bars and restaurants and I was like, oh, okay. It's like a 1999 Super Bowl.
What did you think of the halftime show?
I don't know.
Did you watch it?
I did. The Super Bowl always makes me feel a little weird. It kind of feel, again, I'm coming in so negative. Like, people are going to turn off this episode and be like, who was that bitch? But like, I'm just saying that it feels like, is this the best we got?
Yeah.
It feels like it's like so built up and it's always like kind of not that great. I don't know. Have you ever like,
okay, it feels like America's sending its best and the best is just like sort of cultish and lame.
Yes.
It's all sort of like, it feels like a weird mix of like propaganda, commercialism and like bullshit.
Yeah.
And then the game, when you actually think about football, it's such a dumb ass game. Like, who can move? Like, it's actually so like rudimentary. Like, it's literally like cavemen could have made it. Like, this is the whole thing. It's just so like,
this is what we do.
Stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, my husband last night was like, this is modern day gladiator behavior.
It is.
Ruining their lives. And I was like, yeah.
Right. And I mean, that's, if you want to take it there, like, these people are fucking up their brains for life so that we can watch.
Yeah. But like $40 million when your brain is too messed up to know you even have it.
Yeah,
that's the
I know.
Exchange.
Oh man, I'm with you.
I thought Amanda Gorman was part of the halftime show. I was like, everybody's making this hype around her. She's going to be part of the halftime show. I turn on the halftime show. It's fucking, she's not there. No. I'm upset. And it's the weekend, mm-hmm. literally doing the least. Mm-hmm. And I was like, imagine fucking Beyonce. Imagine Shakira and J-Lo watching this being like, us too. You couldn't give us a solo performance. We weren't good enough for a solo performance. But this guy in this fucking cheap ass Michael Jackson jacket,
yes.
like not even a good, couldn't even do a Michael Jackson move. I was so upset. I was like, women are supposed to like, literally do handstands and heels while singing a perfect pitch. Yes. And people message me, they're like, oh, COVID restrictions. I was like, okay, COVID restrictions. Then have somebody who could just stand and sing really well. Then.
Wait, I don't even, why would COVID restrictions? Okay, is anyone pretending like the weekend like could dance like J-Lo if they, not for COVID?
Like, I was upset. I was like, okay, I like The Weeknd. I like The Weeknd. I like his music.
Yeah,
I love that last 80s song that came out. Like, I really, I bop around to it.
Yes.
Yeah, I love but that like, song.
But like, come on. He was just standing there and the pitch was off.
Honestly, I don't think this was about the restrictions. This is like, this is about male performers and their expectations versus female performers. Like, you can't become a female performer unless you can sing and dance incredibly well, like, and you're like extremely hot. So it's, yeah, it's like you, it's not even like, I don't even think it's necessarily about his performance. It's about the fact that if he were a woman, he couldn't even be a performer unless you're Adele, who's like allowed to stand. And yeah,
that's true. I actually want to talk about Adele.
Oh, let's talk about Adele. Okay.
One thing that's happened during quarantine is we've had a lot of celebrity weight journeys, and Adele, Kelly Osbourne,
Rebel
Wilson. We've had a lot of our like curvier girls in Hollywood slim down, which is totally fine and totally their choice. But again, like the media coverage that comes out of that is just like, look how much better their life is now. Like, look what's happening here. Like, look, Rebel Wilson had a boyfriend. Like, the narrative, it's just like national news. And after I got like my fourth news alert about it, I just started talking about it on Instagram. And I'm like, this isn't news. Like, we have a lot of things we could talk about right now in the world that even like positive stories that you want to bring up around celebrity women. And we just keep going back to the body talk, which is crazy, I think.
I think that it's really like, when you think about what else we could be talking about.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, it becomes so stupid. It's like, it's like, you're like, I can't believe that's what they're talking about. There are thousands of stories out there right now. Like, it's a global pandemic and you're talking about like Rebel Wilson's like
weight loss.
Yeah. And her, like, how many times she chews? Like, are we kidding?
This is my, that was what People Magazine, that's what you chose to send. That's what the alert was on my phone. And then that even goes on to CNN and like, all the other places. It's crazy.
Yeah, I haven't gotten any notifications about any male actor losing a shit ton of weight.
I don't know any male actor body updates.
Jonah Hill was the only male actor who has ever gotten a body update.
They say like it's a transformation for a role kind of.
Yes, I agree.
Kind of announcement. It's never like, see what their diet was to make them look amazing. Like it's never like that. It's never equal. And I agree. It's such cheap news and such cheap headlines. And you're so right about like Rebel and how it was paired. Suddenly she had this boyfriend and it was just like the wrong fucking message.
Yes.
And I mean, but she's in that. She's really intense. I mean, she had to do a lot to lose that weight. Like, it's really hard to lose a significant amount of weight.
Yeah.
And like, her Instagram is very like, I'm so proud of all of this. Look at how happy I am. My boyfriend. And that's fine. Like, that's fine. It's just challenging to see like these headlines that go along with it and then spread that message to literally everyone.
Yes. Agreed.
And you can't look away.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
So speaking of all of that and actresses, recently, I was like, holy shit, I followed Blake Lively and I was like, oh my God, she's mentioning Katie.
Can you believe?
Okay, so tell us what happened and then like tell us the moment that you saw it, what it felt like.
So I met Blake Lively about a year ago on the internet, and she messaged me and she was just like, I love what you do. And I was like, I'm sorry, are you talking to me? She was like, I love what you do. I love when you call out brands. I really think that like brands are really responsible for the way that so many women feel about their bodies. And like, I have daughters and it's so important that we change this narrative. And then again, I was like, are you talking to me?
You're the right person.
Yeah. I'm like, are we friends? So it's also so hard because I like don't want to be too eager in my replies to her because she'll message me periodically and then I like have to.
You play cool with Blake.
Yeah, I've got to play it cool. I'm not, because I never try to take it like any further than she's trying to go. I let her set the pace. Like, I'll make a joke, like, but I'm not going to message her first kind of thing.
You reply to her stories. I feel like that's the, that's like the modern day casual.
Sometimes, comment. But I don't want to be too thirsty. I'm just telling you, hopefully she is not listening to this specific episode of your podcast, but I hope she does listen to your podcast. But yeah, I gotta let her lead and like not like get to, because you know, everyone wants a piece of you when you're a big celebrity like that. And so I do this series called Make My Size, where I go into stores or I order things online. And I just try on the biggest size that a brand makes. And I show people how far off it is from fitting my body. So I wear like an 18-20. And I'm like, hey, I love your brand. I love the designs. But this is how far you are away from being able to dress me. And I've been doing this for about 2 years. And I would say I've had like a pretty successful campaign with it. I would like my first call out was Diane von Furstenberg. And then within a year, they launched a capsule collection with 11 Honoré of her wrap dresses that I think went up to like a size 24, wow. Which is yeah. Great. And then like same thing, Veronica Beard, they launched Plus. That was amazing. Madewell, I went into the offices and like talked to their design team. Wow. And they have like, I think Madewell has done an excellent job. They also do a really good job of bringing marketing in, because I think that's one of the things, like, you know, ALC?
Yeah.
The brand?
Yeah. I like their stuff.
I do too. I had no idea that they had Plus. They were just like secretly like selling through a size 24. And so I messaged them. Same thing with Jenny Kane. Jenny Kane also sells extended sizes. And I messaged them and I was like, hey, stumbled upon this. I had no idea. They were like, yeah, kind of like fine answers. But the point is that you won't see a plus size person on their social. You don't see them on the website. And I think that that's the real downfall of any brand who's going to launch extended sizing, is that you really need to get into it and you need to like let women know that they can shop with you, because when you're shopping for bigger sizes, it's a real emotional journey, because so often you're told no and that you can't shop with a brand. So when a brand is trying to welcome in a whole new audience of women, they have to kind of roll out the red carpet. And I don't think many brands do that.
You think it's because they're not like ready to do it? Like, is it a two-part thing? Like, okay, we carry the sizes, but now we're not sure if we want this to be still. Are we ready to dip our toes into the, to be like out in the world like that?
Yeah. I would say it's there's definitely that part where it's like, they're like, hey, we don't need like fat chicks on our Instagram. Like that's one part. And then I think another part is that they don't realize that like marketing to an entire audience who has never been able to shop at your store or with your brand is like, you have to like really be like, hi, we're here for you. Hi, we're here for you. Like you have to really welcome them in because their chances are they've looked at your brand and they've been like, oh, cool. I can't shop here.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think that there's almost a piece of like these brands that are typically historically run by like pretty thin white women are like now don't know how to talk to the other audiences? Like I could just see them.
Yeah.
Part of it is like, you can sort of imagine how they'd be like, hey, larger women, like, hello, like,
hello, fellow peers.
Yeah. Hello, hey, fellow girls. And I would like, yeah. Because like, part of it is probably that they don't know how to market it in a way that they're like proud of it.
Correct.
That correct. Would be welcoming. Because maybe they're afraid of getting called out even.
Correct. Like to do it wrong. Well, which is why you should bring in, I know so many of my plus size counterparts do consulting for brands. I do consulting for brands and you just have to bring someone in to like look over your marketing materials. It's like not rocket science. But I think you've got brands like, who is it? Love Shack Fancy. She's one of my faves to talk about. Because she got in trouble for not being racially, like having like racial diverse marketing and models and stuff like that. And she did a collaboration with Target where she did extended sizes, which was really cool, but I'm sure Target made her do that. And they're ones that they never answer me. They never want to talk about it. They stop at a size 10.
Okay. Love Shack Fancy. So they're having a sale right now. I currently have a coat from them in my cart. But I'm not, it's final sale. And I'm like, is a large going to fit me? Mm-hmm. Like because I have a bunch of their shit.
And what
size,
can I ask what size you are?
What size I am now?
Yeah.
Or what size I have been?
No,
past?
Just what size you are now. Okay.
I don't know, honestly, what size I am now. I gained a lot of weight during the past few months, like working on intuitive eating. So I have not weighed myself. I don't.
Okay. Oh, good. Like,
and I'm
great.
Literally just wearing sweatpants every day. So yes. I don't know. But
I'm just saying you seem like a small person.
I'm not.
And, well, I mean, I'm just saying you seem like a small person. And the fact that like, you're like, I'm not sure if this like
large coat.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Is going to fit, which
is
crazy.
Well, because when I was like, let's say earlier in the pandemic, I was a little smaller. I was always like a bigger size in that brand than I was in other brands.
Yeah.
So that's why I like have the actual hesitation about, will this size fit me then?
Yeah, they're cutting small. And there's another one.
They
Alice
cut it
and
small, yes.
Alice and Olivia, another one of my faves to talk about.
Yeah.
She's out to lunch.
What do you think, though, about... Because, okay, like, Love Shack Fancy is, like, very...
That's because thin white women who don't want to make extended sizes, I'm sure they have lunch with Tory Burch sometimes. Like, it's just...
This is where my question comes from. So, like, Love Shack fancy, very niche targeted type of customer, right? Like, the ethereal, like, in Sag Harbor, or on Safari Tail House with their children, with, like, fucking... Like having Midsommar in their
unicorns, literally.
No, it's like, Midsommar. Like it's that. Like they have sacrifices.
That's just because you missed the unicorn that they once brought in.
Okay, but that said, so they have like a very niche.
Sure. Way.
What are your thoughts on like their argument about like I obviously don't agree with this, but what we want a certain type of customer for our brand, which is what their like kind of old fashioned mindset is.
I would say then you have to, then you're being an exclusive brand intentionally and that says something to people and like, that's fine. Love Shack Fancy, Alice and Olivia, they don't want to make bigger sizes. A lot of brands don't want to make bigger sizes. Now those two brands are not small. those are larger brands. This isn't,
they can afford it. That's the thing is like, I watched Love Shack Fantasy scale over the past few years, and like, you don't scale and you don't open that many stores without the resources, not necessarily of your own revenue. And if making bigger sizes is a priority for you, when you have those resources, you will make them.
Agreed. And Tanya Taylor is a great example of this because she is like a semi-small brand. I don't think she has retail stores. She has big retailer accounts and she's got her online business. Her stuff's pretty expensive. But I've watched her do extended sizes like so easily, and she posts about it all the time. She's like what they say, we can't afford to do extended sizes. And she's like, what they really mean. Like, she does these stories about it. And I think it's really interesting because she's been able to do it like pretty easily.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a wanting thing. So that's, to answer your question, it's just, I think that, they're like, we don't want this customer, and then they have to own those consequences.
And probably revenue consequences too. Like, they could probably make, probably benefit their bottom line if they invested in being less exclusive and more inclusive. Wait, so let's go back to Blake Lively. So she posted recently, and she So what was her message about, and what do you think that like did?
It's so funny because she posted about the exact time when I met her last year. So clearly she was like having a body journey, and she said that she had just had a kid and she had to go promote this movie, The Rhythm Section. Yes. It's on Amazon Prime right now. I'm doing a shout out for my dear friend.
Yeah. You're so close, she was close.
Very, very friend. Dear friend. So she was doing promotion for that, and she was talking about how she couldn't find anything to wear for the press events and for the night, like the show appearances, and how frustrating it was, and that she couldn't request clothes, like samples from brands, and that a lot of brands like wouldn't send her the like larger size, or basically I think she felt like she couldn't find any clothes. And then she went into some stores that didn't have her size. I think she was maybe wearing like a 6 or an 8 or something like that, maybe an 8. Which is, here's the thing about it. So she posts this whole thing about how brands need to be accountable for creating this unrealistic expectation for women by making clothes so small that like women can't wear them. Now, obviously, she got a lot of heat for this story because they were like, Blake Lively reveals that she tagged me in one of the slides and said that Katie is doing a lot of work to make brands more accountable. But I think the big message to pull out from the Blake Lively story was not, this is a privileged celebrity who can't find a size 6. That's not it. It's the point is that like Blake Lively has body image issues. Blake Lively thinks she's too fat. Blake Lively has trouble finding clothes. Like, that's the thing. Like, she is the epitome of what we're supposed to be striving for as women in America. And if that person is having those issues, then we're all fucked.
Right. So definitely.
So it's all bullshit. That is my takeaway for people, is it's not to get hung up on the fact that Blake is like talking about this.
Right.
Yeah. It's to say, whoa, like turn the lights on. Like, we're in a really fucked up scenario.
Right. The truth is that like, you're never going to get there unless you like, I think that's what people need to realize, is that like, you're never going to get there. And all you're going to do is take up your brain space.
There is no there.
Yeah, there's right. Exactly. If Blake Lively isn't there, who's there?
Yes.
So there is no there.
Yes.
I don't know. Like something Navy, Ariel Charnas is there, but like,
is she
that there? Is not a body that like most women are half, like you're just not capable. Even if you were to starve yourself, like it's just, you can't do it.
Yes.
And you shouldn't feel like you have to.
No,
I wasn't aware that Blake Lively got any like heat for that. I thought it was all mostly positive.
No.
What I thought from that was like, oh my God, amazing. First of all, this woman who, like you're saying, is this like perfect goals.
Yes.
As people say, like the American goals, blonde, tall, thin.
Yes.
Funny. And, you know, cool girl. And she is talking about how brands aren't even helping her, who has the most access.
Yes.
Aren't even helping her. And say, and she's also saying that she is struggling, like you said, is struggling with her body image. Mm-hmm. And it's not like if she's saying that, like, I'm a plus size, she just had a fucking baby.
Yeah.
Can you imagine working like at that brand or like with that brand as their publicist, and you're the one who's saying like, no, sorry, we can't get you a size six. And you're
imagine, because I think that a lot of those brands are, they thrive on exclusivity, and they thrive on like, they're still in that like early aughts, like the only way in is thin. And like, if you're not a size zero, then you're too fat kind of thing.
They're in like Bachelor, the mindset that created like the Bachelor glory days. Like it's all that, like, we're still in 2003. Yes. Like Emily in Paris is God. Yes. Like Emily in Paris vibes, like Us Weekly is the Bible. And that's like, yeah, it is a different mindset. It is just sort of like being a little bit like stuck in the past.
And also, if you think, just to talk about Emily in Paris and the way that we put women on the screen. Now, I'm not shaming anyone for being too thin. I think my friend Carol Radswell is like a very thin woman, and she's always like getting like eat a sandwich comments. And but that's just like her body, and that's always kind of been her body, and that's who she is. But I name drop Carol Radswell.
My friend Carol.
Yeah.
Should I pick it up on the way?
It's like Kelly Ben Simone, you know, my friend Gwyneth.
Yeah. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, oh man, what did I say?
You were talking about, I know what you were going to say. It was about Lily Collins.
Yes.
Putting her on.
Now, this is a girl, she starred in a movie about anorexia. And like, did you watch that movie?
Yeah. The Bones on Netflix, something Bones.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was. Yes. Did you watch it?
I did not watch it, I saw that she, I know in her book, she wrote about like struggling with an eating disorder.
Yes. So my point is that we bring these types of body types, and this is a person essentially who is like openly saying, I have an eating issue. I'm underweight. Like this has been a problem for me my whole life. And we put them in positions to now influence young girls and women all over the world who are like, Jesus, like this is what Emily in Paris, like this is what I'm supposed to be looking like.
Yeah. I was watching Emily in Paris, like it definitely activated my like previous desires to just be like so slender.
Yes.
And thinking like, oh, like if I just, I could get there, but like, I can't, like, I just can't. Like, I think.
And you don't need to.
Yeah.
And
that's, right. Exactly. That's
the thing, is that Hollywood and the fashion industry is getting like a hair better, but Hollywood is still just casting and putting only one type of body up on the screen, and that's it.
Yeah.
Unless it's 80 Bryant and it's all about like Trill, and that's all about
that's the topic, right?
Yes.
You can't have
just a character
right, without discussing it. Like, we have to give context for why there is a plus size woman on my screen.
No, like, did we go into backstory about like Emily in Paris having an eating disorder? No.
Right.
Like,
it's not even
mentioned. We showed her.
They show her eating croissants. They're like, oh my God, that was so annoying. Oh, and then it got nominated for a Golden Globe. Okay. The fact that she was like when she was, like talking about how French women just don't, you know, they get their croissant, and she's like walking. And I have this vivid scene in my head because this one scene triggered me a little bit. Where she's like walking by her workout and she gets like a croissant on the way home, and you see her from the side and she is so fucking thin. Mm-hmm. I'm like, she's a fucking ream of paper from the side. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I'm like,
it's unrealistic and not fair to the viewers who don't have her body and who have problems or struggled their whole lives.
Yes.
Who think that that's the body I want, you know?
Yes.
It's,
which is every that is
which
all
is
of
what
us.
I thought.
I didn't think it was only her though.
I was like, wouldn't it be so much easier if I could just have been like that?
I thought it was like also portrayed in the like the boss woman who's like this French old school, represents like literally like old school fashion, Vogue, that like stuff like that. Oh, you're not, like you said, you're not in unless you're thin. Like, she also, and then the way that she was kind of like so judgy about her, like that, that to me, I felt that was more triggering than Emily herself, Emily in Paris, because it was like, it gave those subtle messages of like, if you want to be rich and successful, you must be thin like me. If you want to be rich in this beautiful PR company, like that's, you have to like be this intense, like hardcore worker and also thin. But I did like the work ethic that Emily was portraying. That's Same. What I like.
I loved was, Emily in Paris.
I like that she was a hustler.
Loved the show. Yeah.
The fact that like she got all these followers by putting up a selfie with a croissant, like unrealistic sure. in terms of influencer or Instagram marketing, but her hustle was yeah. a good yes. message.
I agree. I loved her hustle. I was very into her hustle. That really so was. Yeah.
Well, I think what this year, not just like Emily, like this year, I would say in general, has exposed is how much like fashion and Hollywood are sort of stuck in this white, thin,
yeah,
solid ideal. Like even you look at like Kamala Harris's Vogue cover, like that huge controversy about how they used like literally an outtake for her Vogue cover. And it's clear that the gaze, with which they are crafting like their artistry and like their marketing and their covers and their photography is just not, it doesn't have an eye for any other type of beauty that is not white and thin yes. and like luxe essentially.
Yes. Yeah.
Like they're not even capable of capturing anything else as beautiful or artistic.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. yeah. It's fucked up.
Guys, as many of you know, I've been on an alcohol-free journey. Please don't hold it against me that I just said journey, but I have. And one thing that I've really missed on this journey is beer. But now with Athletic Brewing, I'm able to get that delicious beer-like taste in my mouth without any of the alcohol. It's amazing. Just so you guys know, I used to love sours. I'm a big sour drinker and I really miss that taste. And now I don't have to miss out on it. It's amazing. Whether you're trying to cut back or you just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is often a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet fruity sours? Now you can enjoy this style without the hangover the next day. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic brews bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code DST to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's code DST at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer, exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.
So let's talk about your book, which is coming out
in May. Yes.
In May. It's called Body Talk. And what inspired you to write this book? So I can't believe you decided to actually take the advice in the beginning of quarantine to write your book.
but you did it.
So also appreciate the hustle. It's not
me
just
and Emily in Paris.
It's Katie.
Yeah.
Katie in New York and Palm Springs.
It was Katie in Maine. It was Katie in Maine.
Palm Beach. Oh,
Palm yeah. Beach. I said Palm yeah. Springs.
No.
What's Palm Springs? Oh, that's in California.
California.
We went there this year. Or last year.
Last year. Oh. Hate, right, pre-pandemic. Yeah, so Katie in Maine, what inspired you to write the book and what is the book about?
The exact conversation that we just had is why I wrote the book, because women are stuck on this permanent cycle of I'm not good enough. Let me just see if I can cut my weight, stop eating for a bit, go into an overload of exercise, like get on this program, get on this cleanse, like striving, climbing, and putting so much effort, so much of our brain space, so much of our emotional capacity towards our body in ultimately a negative way. I think there's nothing wrong with wanting to quote unquote get healthier, move your body more, put more greens in your system. Awesome. Like I'm not saying that that's not what you should do. What I'm saying is that we as individuals, because the system is not going to help us. Hollywood's not going to help us. Fashion's not going to help us. The news media is not going to help us. As individuals, we need to stop and get off of this merry-go-round and say, what happened to me? Like, when did this, and it is, it's a workbook. And I go through different sections about, like, it's ultimately like how to get your brain space back and how to either take a step or totally stop thinking about your body in the way that you are now. And obviously there are nuances and people have different experiences and some people have had lifelong struggles with eating. So this is not like a doctor cure-all type of thing, but it is either a starter, or if you're getting close, like it can push you over the edge, I think, to discovering a little bit more peace with your body.
I'm excited to read it. I really am.
I think it's good.
I'm sure it is. No,
you're like, I don't know how it is.
No, I mean, I'm sure it is. Like, if, I mean, even just based on this conversation, it's just, I mean, I think it's so necessary, because as much as you can work on your relationship with food, ultimately, yeah, if you can't like feel okay with the body that you may end up in at different times, yes, of your life, because, yes, the other lie that I think we're convinced of is that, oh, once God, you get to a certain weight, you're going to be that weight forever. Mm-hmm. Whereas in reality, weight fluctuation is a very normal, yes, thing in life, especially in a pandemic. The idea that you'd like maintain your weight when your, no, activity is being cut to basically zero,
yeah,
or, you know, your natural activities being cut to zero. Yeah. That's like insane. Like you would have to cut what you're eating as well in order, yes, to maintain that weight. And it's just, yeah, people have babies, you know,
yes,
like, it's crazy to think that there's like this standard and you have to stay there.
Yeah. I'm with you.
So what do you hope for? Like, for somebody who gets through the workbook,
God,
the goal for that person to take away?
That the goal for that person is that, like, I do what I did for myself, I guess, which is that I stopped looking in the mirror and having such strong reactions to my like appearance. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, I stopped tying my worth with my weight. I stopped trying to like tie some sort of value with the destination of a certain size or a number on the scale. And I think that is so much of it is tied to shame and like emotional trauma. And we kind of go a little bit into that, in that, like, when is the first time you realized that you had a body? Like, when did you realize what a calorie was? Like, when, and you go back and you realize these like moments, whether you've been in therapy or not, you kind of like put all of these moments to paper and you just start to see how obvious, how the cards were stacked against you the whole time in your own personal journey.
Right. What was the moment for you? Like, cause you show so much confidence on your social media and how you do your supersize the look and all of that. Did you always have this? I'm assuming no, for you to be able to write this book. So what was your moment of like body realization?
It was really when I got featured on Man Repeller. They did like how to dress for a curvy body. And we did a couple different outfit examples, and it was reading the comments from women saying that they had never seen their own body or a woman that was around their size reflected in a fashion blog or a fashion magazine. And that for me was like, whoa, of course not. How am I supposed to find style inspiration or even feel like I have a quote unquote normal body when I don't see myself anywhere? And then that was it. And I have a big part in the book about this, which is just my body is not the problem. Your body is not the problem. And that goes back to the Make My Size initiative, because I think what that has done, in it's planted a seed. I understand that I'm one of, you know, millions of people on the internet talking about body acceptance. But I think if you've come across that before, I think what it does is like next time you're in a fitting room or you get a box of clothes and nothing fits, you get to look more at the brand and say, fuck you. Like, I ordered a reasonable size. Like, I shouldn't need to buy a 2X when I'm a size 8. Like, these types of things, I think it's more of like you take yourself out of that narrative and you're not like, why did I eat that cake? Why didn't I go for a run? Why didn't I do this? And you don't get on that mind cycle. You just get to like kind of, it's less of a, you don't stay there. You just kind of move on.
Right. because it's, you sort of see that like the structures that have created this culture, they're both built to exclude, yes, and also built to make your exclusion feel like, yes, your fault. And at no point do the diets get blamed. No. Do the trainer programs that are going to show you results, yeah, in 14 days. Like, at no point is anyone like, oh, those are the, no, problem, that they're even promising these things, rather than it's always you who's, yes, the problem. And that does a number on your self-esteem. Yes. And ultimately it puts brands at the expense ahead at the expense, yes, of humans and their mental health.
And this is, and people talk to me about Goop a lot. Cause Goop's always talking about cleanses and detoxes and stuff like that. And I think that I work with Goop quite often. And I always say that I'm making changes from the inside out, because I, first of all, I'm obsessed with Gwyneth, but then, you know, on her Goop show, she makes comments about how she like has body issues. And of course she has body issues. She's like grown up in Hollywood. But my point is that something like Goop, if you can take a platform like that, that is like launched and it's made, they've made a lot of positive changes, but it's, you know, it's thin white women. Like, let's say, mm-hmm, it out loud. If you can make changes within an organization like that, like, wow. Like, can you, I'm just saying, like, if you could look at Goop, which is this aspirational thing, and feel included in that, like, those are the changes that we need to keep making. I don't, right, know if that makes sense, but that is, yeah.
No, it does. And to expect that it's going to happen overnight is a little unrealistic. No,
not perfect.
But like you said, it's not, the system's not going to go first. Like, we have to go first.
The system goes where the money is. Like, that's it. So,
yeah.
Yes. And if inclusion is cool, then like that becomes.
And we start spending the money or supporting, yes, the brands that share the values, yeah, that you do. Like making a sort of a stance, yeah, in what you believe in, then that's where the money will go.
And I love to know from your listeners who they want to make their size, because I feel like I've hit a wall with designers that I've like tried to start conversations with, and I'm open to suggestions for people who.
Do you have like, I would love like some pants that fit me, like that aren't jeans.
Sure.
That aren't sweatpants, like just like some bottoms, you know what I mean?
I have a question. I remember you posted something about this and it stuck with me forever, about the word flattering or something, like being,
sure, yeah,
being like finding something that is flattering and how that's always the goal. And flattering also makes you look thinner.
Yes.
Can you quickly just talk about that, because, yeah, like what if I can't like get there to the point where like I it's so hard to want to wear something that you may say this isn't flattering, but I'm gonna wear it because I like it. Like that is never a thought that ever has crossed my mind until I saw you talk about that. So yeah, can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, that is it, is that clothes for me spark joy, and they create, it's costume, it's like, it's fun for me. And that's why I'm always in like, you know, bright colors, because that's what makes me personally happy. And I can always spot it 10 miles away. A woman, it doesn't matter what size she is, she's in drapey black jersey and she's hiding. And like, that is my goal, to always flip that mindset, because that person wears that because they think that it's flattering, which means make them thinner, and that it's ultimately camouflaging and makes them feel like they can disappear and hide and not stand out because they want to be smaller. And I want to encourage women to examine what that means when they are like, oh, this, like, these white jeans aren't flattering. But like, what kind of style that a white jean could bring into your wardrobe, or how it could make you feel. I want women to have that conversation with themselves, and realize why they're doing some of the things that they don't even realize that they're doing. Like, people will just make rules for themselves. I don't wear shorts. I don't wear this. Like, I don't wear that. I don't show my arms. And you look at that, you always, always, you look at that person and you're like, what are you talking about?
Well, yeah, that was me. When we started the podcast, I wouldn't wear tank tops. And then I started wearing tank tops. Right. And it was great, but I'm still now a little bit afraid of tank tops. But how do you get, like, from even, I'm asking for a personal advice. How do you get to the place of like,
yeah,
this isn't that flattering, or rather, let's use a different word. This doesn't make me look the thinnest I could possibly look right now, but I'm going to wear it anyway because I like it. Like, how do you get there? Like, because to me, I have every single person's voice in my head that's ever criticized me while I'm putting on something like that, whether it's conscious or subconscious. But how do you get there?
You pre-order my book. Okay. I'm just kidding. Right. I'm kidding.
No, that's a great place. That's a great.
No. I think you have to make a conscious choice to move away from those voices and move towards like it sounds so obvious that you're like, okay, that's not real, but like you have to like pick up a different vibe. So rather than like having all those negative thoughts, you've got to be like, I look like, oh, this is very like French woman leather jacket. Like you have to like get a different vibe for yourself, I guess, because you have to realize that nothing that you're saying to yourself, like those mean comments that you're hearing and that you're saying to yourself, they're not real. So it's like, you have to change the narrative in your own head. And that doesn't happen overnight, but it's just like, I was 75 pounds lighter when I started the 12-ish style. Like that's a lot of weight. And I would look at myself and I was like, well, like my stomach, like my arm, like I was constantly picking my body apart. And what I'm here to tell you 75 pounds later is that it's not the scale. It's not the weight. It's not that. It's the view of yourself in the mirror.
Right.
Yeah. I can't really get past this feeling of like wanting to hide. At least like these days in a body I'm like not used to being in as much.
Well, we're in a really, I mean, listen, pandemic is doing a lot of things for us like mentally right now and emotionally. And that's a whole separate layer of shit to deal with.
Yeah.
Basically.
What I'm trying to do, like I hear you and changing the narrative in your
head. Yes.
Absolutely. In terms of like intuitive eating, the whole like exploration of like what you like.
Yeah.
Is I think that practice can be also applied to your taste, because like my style for so long had only been like what looks good rather than what I like.
Yeah.
Similarly to what's gonna keep me thin or not to versus what I actually like to eat.
Yeah.
And like exploring that your actual style could actually be fun.
Yes.
So that's
great.
That's
exactly
approach.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that approach. It's like what actually inspires me, what celebrity, and that's why I do supersize the look, because I think people are like, I wear all black, but I love the way that Dua Lipa dresses. And I'm like, okay, dress like Dua Lipa. Like,
yeah.
I just think that it's our own rules.
Right.
Oh, well, this has been amazing and very inspiring as usual. So everybody can get your book in May.
Yes. You pre-order it now, because that is what helps
the bestseller list.
Yep. Helps get it to the bestseller list. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, go pre-order it. Go explore Mega Babe too. Get those Rosy Pits and all of your other amazing products that you've launched since. And thank you so much, Katie. This is awesome. We love having
you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
You.
This did not feel like a work recording at all. This really felt like we were just chatting about stuff that I need to get off my chest.
Yeah. This was therapy and friend time. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Katie.
Well, everyone go follow Katie, and we're always with you
through thick and thin.
Betches.